He said, don't think of Bacardi and Bottled School. I was thinking of it. Sorry, I just remember something. I said, hey, you do have it? Yeah, I got to take care of it. Amen. Thank God for Brother Rick helping me. Amen. So, all right. Take your Bible, please. Matthew chapter 14. The greatest preacher who ever lived has just been assassinated by King Herod the Tetrarch. Oh, Herod hated him. He despised him because John the Baptist let people know that, and even in his face, he had uncovered his immorality with his brother's wife, Herodias, and he had married her. And John the Baptist said, you shouldn't have done that. That's against God's rules, against God's law. And Herod hated him so much that he took off his head, shut him up. Amen. You know, it's amazing. It didn't stop because he was reading the scriptures where Jesus, Herod the Tetrarch said, I want to see this Jesus. And he said, I'm sure that he is a reincarnate of John the Baptist. Very interesting. You know, old Herod lived with that all his life. He knew it was wrong. You know, many times we do some things and we know we're wrong. And we try to put it away, and some people use drugs, some people use the booze, you know, to forget those things. But let me tell you something, it's amazing what this computer that we have up here, this brain that just keeps reminding us. That's why the Bible tells us over in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Man, I'm glad about that. I'm glad we can just take it and leave it to the Lord. Just leave it there, amen. Aren't you glad about that? And just go on. And then sometimes that'll come back in our minds, and we just have to say, Satan, you go back where you belong in the name and blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus has already forgiven me. The blood has already covered it. He not only covered it, but he washed it away, and it's white as snow, and God's not holding that to my account anymore. Now, of course, there's a lot of people who hold a lot of things to our account. But Jesus, who is the great judge of all mankind, will not hold that to our account because he says that he is just and he'll forgive us of all our sins. Aren't you glad about that? What a blessing. Amen. Well, the greatest preacher who ever lived is dead now. John the Baptizer, his disciples, they don't know what to do, so they come to the master and tell him that their leader has been beheaded. And after the news, you'll see as you read the scripture, Jesus Christ, he departs into a ship and he goes to the desert. He just got to get away. Sometimes in our lives, some very drastic things happen to us, and sometimes we just need to go to the desert and get alone, sort some things out in our minds, in our hearts, in our lives, talk to God, and get things straight. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ went to the desert. And the question comes up, well then, who is going to champion John the Baptist's morals and integrity? Who is going to be willing to cry out against sin? Who will preach against the improprieties and bad behavior of our government? Who else will stand against the religious scandals? Who else will heal the brokenhearted? Who else will heal the sin-sick souls? Who else will heal the disturbed? So the natural thing for John the Baptizer's disciples is come to Jesus Christ. For you remember Jesus, remember John the Baptist, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. He says, I am not he that's going to come. He said, I'm the one that's preparing the way for him to come. And he pointed to Jesus. Boy, I'll tell you what, that just reminds us we ought to point people to Jesus. Amen. Just point them to Jesus. Hey, you got trouble? I'm going to point you to Jesus. You got heartache? I'm going to point you to Jesus. You got sorrow? I'm going to point you to Jesus. The greatest Savior now who ever lived is there to help them. And by the way, he's there to help you too. Jesus sees this great multitude coming to him. The Bible says that there are 5,000 men. That's not including the women and children. And they come to him for comfort. He is greatly moved with compassion. He speaks to them sweetly and lovingly. And he heals their sin-sick souls. I also want you to notice that he averted the greatest failure. In the evening, the disciples came to him and said, is a desert place. I wrote in my notes, no kidding. You don't think Jesus knew this is a desert place? There's always some people that always, you know, got that great information. Hey, you know what's going on? You know, but anyway. Doesn't it surprise you when you read this account that the disciples didn't think where Jesus knew he was at? Then they tell the Lord, Lord, these people are hungry. Send them away. And that's my message today. Send them away. Why? Why did the disciples say, send them away? You find that in verse 15. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send them multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals or food. To the human mind, there are too many people to handle. That's a lot of people. At least 5,000 women, if there's 5,000 men. And during the time that this portion of Scripture was written, per capita was 4 children per marriage. So we're talking about 30,000 people to feed. I don't think McDonald's take care of that today. I'm sure my son would like them to. And a total of 30,000 mouths to feed, that's why they said, send them away, Lord. This would be a big fuss. Can you imagine all the paper plates? All the garbage? Well, Lord, we only have 5 loaves and 2 fishes. In my calculation, an addition of 5 little loaves and 2 little fishes certainly could not feed the Lord and his 12 disciples, let alone the 30,000 plus. Don't you think that they thought, and I know this is a supposition, that's a theological term, what you're thinking of, and maybe it could have happened. Maybe they thought that they might have to do some work here. You're the disciples of the Lord. If you're a disciple of the Lord, you're going to work. In fact, the Bible said if you don't work, you don't eat. And Jesus has been taking care of these disciples for about 3.5 years. And they said, send it away. Lord, you don't expect us to provide for these people, do you? Well, let me just pull over and park. Mr. Disciple, you weren't the one that expected to supply. And you haven't been supplying anyway. Well, there's a lot of people like that in churches, isn't there? Oh, man, we can't do that. We've never done that before, and it just cost us too much. First of all, what you have, if you're a born-again Christian, is not yours, it's God's. Amen or oh me. I said, wait a minute, preacher, you went from preaching to poking in our business. Now I'm preaching to you. There's a lot of people say, hey, we can't do that. No. You can't expect us to do that. Why? Hasn't God taken care of you this week? Hasn't God loved you and answered your prayers and helped you through another crazy week that we're having? But Lord, you can't expect me to do that. No, I can't, because I gave you everything I had, and it was me. How much do I love you? I love you this much. And these disciples said, hey, wait a minute. Hey, you can't expect us to be giving all of our stuff away. First of all, they ain't your stuff. Go in your house and look at your stuff. It's not your stuff. God allowed you to have that stuff. God gave you breath to breathe, water to drink, food to eat, give you strength, and your mind. God gave you your mind so you could figure out some things, so you could do some things, so you could make a few bucks so that God could bless you by that. Amen? Boy, we just think that this universe just circles around us. Amen? It's just me. Yeah, hey. Feed me. Amen. 200-pound canary said, give me a cracker now. But anyway, Lord, you don't expect us to provide for these people. These people went to John the Baptist's church, not our church. You don't expect us to help those people. You know, Lord, that they should have been following you in the first place and not him. Well, we got good excuses, don't we? You don't expect us to sacrifice our stuff. And again, I wrote, hey, let me tell you folks, it ain't your stuff. I was getting back in my farming days, amen. God allowed us to have what we have to use it for his honor and his glory, not ours. I thought we were supposed to say, I love the Lord God with all my heart, with all my soul, and all my mind. They gave their tithe and offering to him when we were broke. You don't expect us to help them. Or here we go again. We're tired. We're going to have to work some more. We can't go on that vacation that we just so had to be on. And we're going to have to pray more.
Well,
this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. The greatest Savior who ever lived was there to encourage them, and when they needed his encouragement, he was there. You say, but Pastor, I don't even know these people. What did Peanut say? I love people, but I hate these human beings. Look at the Savior. His heart was broken. He's very tired. The man that baptized him has been beheaded. Jesus Christ said he was the greatest of all preachers. And did you know John the Baptizer never did one miracle? There's not one recorded miracle in the Bible that John the Baptist did, but he was the greatest preacher. Jesus tired? Yes, he's tired. Was he hungry? Yeah, if those people didn't eat for 3 days, I expect the Lord didn't eat for 3 days. Jesus, I'm sure, was brokenhearted, yet he stopped and he gave his time to do miracles and heal the sick and loved on the hurting and loved of the unloving. You see, when we are hungry, we get by, and when we are thirsty, we get by and get up and get it. For the most part, we think of our own selves. We're always complaining. We're always griping. We're always nitpicking. We're always just sighing. But when Jesus was in need, he reached out. I want to give you a key this morning. I think I found this key, and I know God put it in here for us. Here's a good lesson to learn. When Jesus was hurting, he found someone that hurting more than he was. When Jesus was hungry, he found someone who was more hungry than he was. When Jesus sent his disciples away for something to eat and sat down at Jacob's well in Samaria in John chapter 4, and that woman approached him to the well, and he asked her for something to drink. The woman questioned him and said, why, you being a Jew, ask a Samaritan for a drink? He told her that if she knew who she was talking to, she would ask him for drink of the living water, and she'd thirst no more. The woman that asked to drink was a lady whose life was in trouble. She had been married five times. And now, after that last one, she was living with another man, wasn't her husband. Years ago, my wife and I had invited our neighbor over for some coffee and talking to her and wanted to tell her about Jesus. And she said to me, she says, "Well, I know God won't forgive me." And I said, "Well, the Lord can forgive you." And I told her the story about the woman at the well. I said, there was a lady that was married five times and five times divorced. And now she's living with a man that is not her husband. And the lady said, "Hey, I know who you're talking about, Betty, right?" So there's even ladies like that in town. Jesus always has plenty of living water to go around. Jesus is always willing to give anything. And I guess the key of this is that when you're hurting, find somebody that's hurting. This world is full of hurting people. I listened to the news early this morning, and I heard of a business that was not a very good business, but over 50 people were killed there this morning in Orlando, Florida. My first thought, shame on me, good for them, they got what they deserved being in a gay bar. And God just slapped me down and said, "Sir, son, those people probably went to hell." And it crushed me. And I began to pray for them. We live in a crazy society. We live in a world that is just nuts. We need to pray for these people. Hey, you know what? They can get saved. Just like you. We that were dirty, rotten sinners got saved. They can get saved. And Jesus Christ can change their heart and their life. Aren't you glad about that? You say, "I know what kind of guy you are." What would they call him? A homophobiac or something. I don't know. Homo something. No, I'm not. Did you know everybody has a soul? They made a choice. That's their choice. And of course, I know the scripture teaches this, is that it's against human nature to be like that. But God still loves them. And we ought to be very careful how we... I told you something in my heart this morning, and God struck me with that. And I looked in my mirror this morning when I thought about it right at first, and I thought, there's somebody's boy. There's somebody's little girl that died early this morning in Orlando, Florida. You know what? Jesus didn't care who they were. The Bible said he was a friend of sinners. And he went and told them that he loved them. For God so loved the world. We better be careful how we point our finger at people. It's only by God's grace and God's mercy that we are not like that or there. You got it? So don't leave here today and say, "Oh, that preacher hates all the people that do the immoral things." No, I don't. I was praying for them this morning. I wonder how many of you prayed for them. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And reading the scripture, I remember Sarah finally had her baby Isaac, and she didn't like Ishmael because he was tormenting her little boy. And she sent that child away. Sent away. "I don't want to be around him." Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, which she had borne unto Abraham, mocking. Wherefore she said unto Abraham, "Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be the heir of my son, even unto Isaac." I think of the time that my wife, every morning, we turn the Bible on in at our house, and when she gets up, and I always turn it to Ruth, and I know that Marcia knows Ruth by heart by now, because for 5 years she's been listening to Ruth every morning, amen. And the Bible talks about Naomi, and she lost her husband, and she lost her sons, and they've been backsliding, and they went over to Moab, and now she's going to go back to Jerusalem, back to Bethlehem. And she says to the girls, she said, I want you to turn back. I want you to go. I want you to leave me. I can't have any more children, and you wouldn't wait for me. But I love what Ruth said. Entreat me not to leave thee, nor to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge, and thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Think if they did, you know, the one daughter did leave, but Ruth didn't. Did you know that Ruth's name is in lineage of the birth of Jesus Christ? Naomi said, go on. Send him away. Joseph told his brothers that they would someday be under his authority and they'd rebel. The Bible said they sent him away to Egypt. But because of that sending away, he saved the people of Israel. When David became the great hero in the battle of the giant of Goliath, and King Saul became very upset because the people praised David for his great warrior, why shouldn't they? Saul, you sat in your tent. You sent this little ruddy young man, 17-year-old boy, out to fight the great Goliath. You were the giant of Israel. You were head and shoulder above every man in Israel, and you would not go down in the valley of Elah to challenge the giant. You sent a little boy. And he killed that Goliath with a stone. And now you're upset with this boy because he's popular. The girls ran around town. They sang the song. Saul has killed his thousand of the David is 10,000. Rah, rah, ree, rah, rah, rah. You know, he had his own cheerleading group. He wanted to send him away. Send him away. He's the greatest. When the priest, when David came to the king, to the priest and said, hey, he said, I'm hungry. He said, well, the only bread we have is showbread. He said, well, we haven't been with any women. We can give it to us. And he gave it to us. And he said, is there a sword here? He says, yeah, there's a sword here. There's Goliath's sword. And David said, there's no sword like that one. And he took it. And Saul came. There was a guy named Doeg. I hate Doeg. Doeg was there. He's a sniveling brute. He told Saul, he said, I saw David. I saw the priest give David the sword. And so Saul came down and says, why are you against me? And the priest said, there's no greater warrior of all Israel than David. Why are you pursuing him? You know, sometimes when we become sinful, we begin doing stupid stuff. We become really stupid. And Saul was very stupid. See, friends, the easy way out is just send it away. The easy way out is, hey, I'm not coming to church tonight. Good night. It's vacation Bible school. There's a plenty of people. If everybody acted like you, how would our church be? So, well, Pastor, we don't like to be around kids. Well, you were one at one time, I think. The only one I know that wasn't a kid was Adam and Eve. They weren't kids. They were completely mature when God made them. All the rest of us got belly buttons, amen? So if you don't have a belly button, then you didn't get here the right way, man. Maybe under a cabbage patch, I don't know. But let me tell you something. Don't send it away. Say, Lord, this is my spot. And by God's grace, I'm going to be here. This is my responsibility. Don't send it away. Why the disciples, Lord, just send them away. Lord, this is a desert place. In other words, he said, this is hot. This is a miserable place to be. There's going to be a lot of work and a lot of cleanup. I don't want to do that. I'm reminded of Charles Meek's poem that went like this. Lord, help me to live from day to day in such a self-forgetful way that when I kneel to pray, my prayer shall be for others. Others, Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be. Let me live for others that I may live like Thee. The key to all of it was the Lord Jesus Christ when He was hurting and when He had lost His best friend to the beheading and He lost the best preacher friend that He had on this earth, He went and helped others. That's the key. When you're having heartaches and you're sad, go help somebody else. Years ago, there was a lady in a church and came to her pastor and she said, I'm just about ready to die. She said, my mama passed away, and she said, I just had it. She said, I'm almost close to a nervous breakdown. And the pastor says, ma'am, will you do this for me? She says, yep, I'll do anything for you, preacher. She says, I want you to go down to the bakery, and I want you to buy some sweet rolls. And here's an address of a family that's been having the men sick. Would you go see them? Okay. And then in the afternoon, you go to the florist and pick up a bouquet of flowers. And there's an old gentleman from our church that's really being bad. He's bad. Would you take those flowers to him? Would you go pray for him? And then he says, I know a family that's really in need. And would you bake a batch of cookies for him? Next Sunday, the pastor sees her coming at him. Man, she's marching right to and fro right past him. She says, hey, where are you going? She says, what do you mean? She says, hey, I thought you were going to have a nervous breakdown. She says, preacher, I'm too busy helping people. I don't have time to have a nervous breakdown. Don't bother me. The key is, when you're hurting, and when you're tired, and when you're sad, and when you're in need, go find somebody that's in greater need. That's the key. If you take that in your life, hey, tonight we're going to bring some little boys and girls here that all they hear is cussing and swearing at home and fighting if they got a mommy or daddy or a boyfriend or a girlfriend as a mom or a dad. They're going to come to you into church and they're going to be a bunch of people who love the daylights out of them and care for them. Little boy says, I can't come to Vacation Bible School. He told me that tonight, this morning. And I said, why can't you? He said, I got grounded. I said, why'd you get grounded? He said, because I rode my bike in the street. And I said, Vacation Bible School will teach you not to ride your bike in the street because we will teach you to obey your parents. And I hope I can find out who that kid is. I'm going to call his parents and say, you know, the best thing you can do, don't keep them out of church when they're doing bad. Keep them from their baseball games. Keep them from their soccer games. Don't keep them out of church. Broke my heart, I came today, and there's thousands of people out in that. I'll guarantee if you walk through, I bet you'll find a bunch of Christians out there. But their soccer has become their God. Don't look at me like a cow looking at a new gate. You know it's the truth. Oh, we got a soccer game today, preacher. We can't be there. We got a basketball game. Are you out of your mind? My kids used to play soccer, basketball, baseball, track. And he never missed a Wednesday night and didn't miss a Sunday. And I told the coach, I said, you're going to have my boys in this. I want you to know they're not going to be a Sunday and they won't be a Wednesday night. Just want you to know that. Now, if you can play early and get to church on time, we'll do it. But if not. So, I don't know. What in the world I had to say that about? I don't know. So I give you a little something to think about, amen. Hey, don't send them away. You see the thing? Help somebody today. Help somebody today. There's somebody out there, their heart is broken. You know which way to turn. And you could be just put your arm around him and say, hey, I just want you to know I'm here. I'm amazed all week, this week at the hospital. All they did is put my arm around and said, I just want you to know that I'm praying for you. I didn't say a lot of great words. I just let them know I was there. There's people out there in this world are hurting. They don't know what way to go. They don't know which way to turn. But I'll tell you, there's a God in heaven that loves you and loves them and will help them. Let me ask you this. If you die today, would you go to heaven? Are you positive? Are you sure of it? If you're not, why don't you invite Jesus Christ to be your Savior today? Hey, out there today in heaven, some trouble, heartaches. Why don't you just right now think of people that they're your neighbors, your friends that are having some difficult time. And just maybe you could just go and minister to them. And Jesus Christ found out that when he ministered to others, he was ministered on. Father, thank you for this time. I pray you'd speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord God, as we have this time of invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. You're here today and say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I'd sure like to know that. I'd sure like to know that. To know that is this. Do you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross? Do you believe he rose on the third day? Would you by faith trust him with your soul and say, God, I know I'm a sinner. Forgive my sins. And come into my heart and save me right now. Christians, please pray. Let's all stand. Everyone stand here today and say, preacher, that's me. I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I'd certainly like to know that. Why don't you come at this time? Preacher, I'm not saved. I don't know if I'm on my way to heaven. Oh, how important would that be? To today, walk out of here and say, I know Jesus, my Savior. She asked Jesus Christ as her Savior today, and we're so glad about that. Boy, that's a good way to start Vacation Bible School, amen. Praise the Lord, honey. Thank you. God bless you. Yeah, you can clap. You can do it. That's Jesus in her heart. On her way to heaven. That is it. That's right there. You know, most kids get saved during this age. Most Christians, you ask them, when did you get saved? Well, I was 6 years, 7 years, 8 years, 9 years, 10, 12. You know, if kids get saved at that certain age, I suppose we ought to be go getting. I have a farm in Michigan. And if I saw a storm coming up, and I've got wheat out there, and I knew there's only one place I could get the wheat, I mean, the most wheat at the least time, I'd head for the middle of the field where the best crop is. Amen? Why are we Christians? Why are we failing this? We're going after all these old people. These kids never hurt. Hey, don't send them away. Don't send them away. You be busy at it. You be busy at it. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord Jesus, for today. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this young little kid, Lord. Lord, pray that you be with Kamiah James. Lord, I pray you just bless her. Thank you that she trusts you, your Savior. Thank you for a little friend that brought her. Lord, I pray you just bless this service now. Help us, Lord, as we get ready for Vacation Bible School. Lord, a lot of things going on right now. Lord, keep us safe, and Lord, bring us back to the services tonight. Help us have a great time. Lord, would you touch the mamas and daddies' hearts that they allow their children to ride our buses and bring their friends in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, you're just